Amen. Good morning. Happy post-Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Glad you're with us today. Hope that it means something to you. Each week we've started the service with a video for giving thanks. And then at this time, we play the same video every week for the last 4 weeks. We played the same video. This video, the reason I've done that, the reason I've forecast it that way is because there's so much in this video to be thankful for. There's different phrases, and each week, it's interesting because each week, different people find that there's a different phrase that really ministered to them this week of what we need to be thankful for. And so we're going to watch this video once again. It'll be the last time, but as you watch it, what are the phrases that you say, God, that's what I'm thankful for today. That's what I really needed today. As we give thanks, as we wrap up this series on really giving thanks, what does it all mean? Watch the video. Giving thanks as we come this morning, as I looked at this series long ago in advance, of looking at what do we have to give thanks for, and we've looked so much at this in the last 4 weeks, for God's goodness and His mercy when we don't deserve it, for His grace when we don't deserve it. When we looked at His provision, that God provides in so many ways, even when we don't really acknowledge that, when we don't really acknowledge Him, that He provides, and in His provision, He allows us to give. And that's what we're called to do, is to give out of His provision that He's called us to give, that we pay it forward in a sense, but God's goodness to others. Then last week, the most important message that I believe in the whole series, Pastor Paul did a great job in talking about the issue of what it means to be in Christ. If you've not seen that message, if you were not here last week, you need to go on the website. It is on there, right? Pastor Paul, it is on there. You need to go back and see that message. It is the foundation of our faith, to know what it is to be in Christ, that you are loved, and how you're loved in Christ. Boy, if you could get that understanding, the image of that, and the foundation of that, you did a great job explaining that, and to see that, how well and how much we go back to that foundation, that you cannot love anybody else if you don't understand how much God has loved you and what He's changed in your life by being in Christ. But this series, from its inception in my mind and in my heart, of God moving from coming to being in Christ, what does that mean? Because 2 Corinthians, as Paul used last week, to be in Christ means that He's taken the old, it's gone, and He's made you new. He's made me new. And from the very first week, you've heard this phrase, my mess, His message. My mess, His message. I don't know how that resonates with you. I don't know what it seems to resonate with you. But my mess can be turned by God's goodness and His grace. Even though I've gotten myself into the messes of my life, He can take that, He can make that, He can form it, and within it, use it to glorify Him. But even in the midst of our messes, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And that we can use that. It does not take long. Now I'm going to give you a little heads up here. They say the number one fear, the number one phobia of most people is getting in front of people and speaking. All right? Now, I don't know about how many of you had turkey day with your family, how Thanksgiving with your family. I find that when most families get together, there's not a problem. There's not a shortage of speaking, is there? Ad nauseum, okay, for some. There's not a problem. And this morning, we are family. If you're our guest this morning, you're part of our family. And as we close this service, it may close very in shortly or it may go on. Because at the end, I'm going to ask you, it's not about me this time, Jeff, not about me at all. Because at the end of this service, I'm going to ask you to share what his message is in your life. And yes, you're going to come right here. But it's not going to be fearful to be in front of people because you're with family here. You're going to have a plate of turkey. You should have a plate of turkey right there represented. We're just going to talk around the table. Now, I'm giving you a warning that. And I'm going to set it up. We'll talk about that. You don't have to look far in God's word to find the fact is that there are people's messes that God used. And God used people of failure because no one is perfect. Did you see the video? For when we can't find good at ourselves, when he's perfecting us, even when we feel less than perfect, when we can't see in our lives any good thing, God says, no, you don't understand my handprints on you, my thumbprints on you. I'm going to give you some of these people. We're not going to discuss each one because you probably know the stories. You talk about Moses. Dude, the number of failures and missteps that they took. Direct disobedience to God at times. Yet look what God used him to do. To lead his people out of bondage. All of that was done. David, it says he is a man after God's own heart. Is that not what it says? The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. But he had great failures within that process. Great failures within that process. And yet God said, no, he's changed, he's been used, and he's a man after God's own heart. Solomon had addictive issues. I thought Solomon was perfect. No, you watch. Solomon wasn't perfect. Go read his life. The boy had addictive problems. He was addicted to pleasure, and the things that brought pleasure was all about self. He couldn't see that, the vanity of that. Joseph, you say, well, Joseph, everything was done to him. It wasn't him. No, you go back and read that. Joseph was that pesky little brother who put it in the face of his older brothers. Kept rubbing it in. I'm dad's favorite. You know? And pretty soon what happened was they said, we're going to take care of this. We're going to end that right now. The arrogance that he started when young. Rahab, the harlot, used by God. Zacchaeus, that hated tax collector who comes down from the tree. God said, no, I'm going to your house today. You're what? You're going to my house? Oh, Martha, you know, here we go. I don't know what the name is Martha, but you know, her wife, get something to go here. And yet not only did Zacchaeus, the hated tax collector, be changed by God, next thing you know, he shared that with everybody. You need to come. People need to hear this message. And that's the point of our message. My mess can be his message, but it's not just to be for me alone. It's to share the message of what God has done in my life with those around us. It's great, but all through Scripture, God says, I'm teaching you so you can teach others. I'm giving you care and compassion, as Corinthians says, so that you can be care and compassion to others. When others need care and compassion, you're going to be the visible representation of Jesus. We looked at the fact that God says he's going to supply our needs, that he wants to provide for God's people. But God says, I'm going to use your people. I'm going to supply by using God's people. The way the supply is going to be met in your life is from other people. Are we listening to God saying, I want to meet other people's needs. I want to give. I want to have a loose wallet. I want to meet people's needs. Meet the church's needs. Meet the issue of the ministry needs. Or do we keep hoarding it in more and more? You look at Paul, formerly Saul in the New Testament. His words were, I'm the chiefest of sinners, man. There's nobody greater than me. I committed murder. Oh, yeah, I had an edict. I was looking to steal. To destroy and seek out and kill Christians. Yes, that was me. And look what God did through him. And then one, of course, that's favorite to me is Peter. I mean, Peter, we know how well we know his impulsive missteps, his impulsive failures. Man, and the thing about Peter, the issue there is that, man, Jesus knew it and said, Peter, hold up a minute. You're about to step into something. Hold up a minute. Peter didn't see it. But I don't need all those stories. I mean, they're great. But those stories mean nothing if I don't look at the last person on that list. And the last person on that list is me. Don't get too haughty and arrogant, because the last person on your list is you. See, there's only one person that needs to know the failures of your life. And the answer is not Jesus. Because Jesus already knows. The one who needs to know the failures of our life is me. And you. Peter needed to see the failures of his life and say, man, God, yeah, I need to admit there's issues in my life that I've got to deal with, and my mess needs to become your message. My mess needs to become your message. I started dealing with this. There's a book written by Mike Iaconelli, who's now with the Lord. It was called Messy Spirituality. I went to read that book, and I opened that book up, and the first line of that book says this: my life is a mess. That's how it started. I thought, did he write my book? We come to the issue of stories, but the real issue for us needs to be, what is the message of your life? If I went to each of you, if I went to Devin and said, Devin, what's his message in your life? What would it be? If I went to Mike and said, what's the message, his message in your life? Or Joe or Gina, wherever I go, what is his message in your life? That's what it really comes to. We need to know the message, and usually we are well aware of our own failures, aren't we? We beat the crap out of ourselves about that. But do you know his message through your failures and through my failures? That's why life change is so important for me. That's why our life groups are so important for you. The issue of the change that God brings into our life. I have my messes. I have my failures. I have my insecurities, my dysfunction, my wrong attitudes at times. I have the challenges of trust. The challenges of, boy, God, am I going to have enough? All of those kind of things. I have challenges within that. Those are mine. I need to own those. I need to see them. But I also need to come back and say, God, you can use those in my life for your message. I will tell you, some of you have been with me in some of these times, but going into this series, I thought, his message. How can I take my mess? I don't want to focus on my messes, but I want to focus on his message from that. And I start asking, God, I want to use that. Not too long from now, you're going to see t-shirts here that on the front say, my mess. And on the back, say, his message. I tried to just like field test this. God, give me opportunities to use my mess to bring forth your message. And I'm telling you what, you start looking for them, they're everywhere. In the locker room, at the gym, at the Save Mart supermarket aisle. No matter where it is, in a little Chinese restaurant. Man, I'm telling you what, you start looking for the opportunity to realize that, man, God in his grace has taken my mess, because most people are quick to share their failures, and you can say, yeah, you know what, I agree. But I want to focus on the fact that my life's been changed because of his message, and the message of my life needs to be. And today, in just a moment, we're not going to focus on your mess. I really don't care. I've been in church services that make me uncomfortable because people focus on how bad their sin was. I really don't care. I'm not going to glory in the fact how bad we can be. Man, we know humanity. I don't need to know how bad you were. We don't need to glorify in your mess. Some people do. We're not going to. We're not going to glorify in your message. I don't care how well you've done and how, but we need to glorify in the fact of his message in our life. What is his message in our life? We want to glorify the change that has been made in us. We may want to say, God, I am praying for the changes that still need to be made in my life. I see certain things in my life, and I want to be patient. I want to be kind. Or, God, take away my anger, whatever it may be, but the changes in one's life. Let me ask you some questions here, and then I'm going to open it, and we may, if no one shares, we go home. It's not about me. I was telling Pastor Paul earlier this morning, I feel it was a weird feeling for me, because usually I like to know where our service is going. And that I had such peace within it, the first service or this service. It's God's movement, not mine. I don't need to control it. But let me ask you some questions. Does our church as a whole have a culture, a sense that allows and acknowledges that we here have messy lives? Do we have that? I believe we do. I believe, as far as my own vulnerability as your pastor and my own weaknesses and my own battles that many of you know that I've had. You know, it's easy for us to judge harshly those who don't sin as we do. But we have a culture here of people, of a body, that acknowledges that every person that walks through that door has a story. And within that story of their life, there may be messes. I'm thankful for most of you here. Some I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not grateful for you, but I know most of you have. You've caught the message of my heart and of our staff's heart of recognizing people and valuing them and welcoming them and noticing them as they walk through this door. Do we have that culture? Or do we just put on the mask and act like, oh, we're fine? As you deal with your own life, listen to me. I want you to fully understand this question because I think it is, as God brought it to me, I think it's so important. Do you, as you deal with your own life, your own mess, do you sense the tender heart of God towards you? I grew up without sensing that. I grew up under the guilt of every failure of my life. Last week, conversation, what if you forget a sin and you can't confess it or you don't know, you know, what do you do? Man, we've forgotten a lot of them, haven't we? And yet, do you understand, do you sense God's tender heart towards you in that? Not judgmental. Not the issue of you're going to hell in a handbasket. Do you sense God's tender heart, as Pastor Paul so eloquently last week shared, nothing's going to separate you from his love, that he's redeemed you, he loves you, he knows you. And we need to heal the shame that binds us, because what has happened is we just wear that shame as a mantle, and yet we need to say, no, my mess, praise God, it can be his message. And then you understand lastly that the point of the message of our life and his message is not to hold it in, but to share it. To share the message of that he's given in our life, a message of encouragement to others. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to share. I'm not going to ask you to, I don't want to hear about your mess, and I'll stop you if it goes there, trust me. I don't care. We're not going to glorify in our messes. I want to see about your life, what change has taken place, or perhaps what change is needed. These are short messages here. They're not mini series. So we don't want you, it's not long. It's short messages. I realize, as I said, number one, fear of speaking. I had so many people after the last service tell me, here, I got to tell you this, I got to tell you that. That's great. You edified me, but you did not edify the body. So we're family here. So if you want to share, the mic is open. I'm not going to badger you. And when it slows down, when it's done, if anybody, we're done. You'll watch a video that has the last message, and we'll go home. And at that point in time, if people start to share, I don't want to wait. I'm not going to wait. I don't need to badge you for it. If someone's up here sharing and you want to share, just stand right over there. Be next. You come and you're next. You come and you're next. I'm going to ask Pastor Paul to come and stand right here for those who may share. I want to help them up that step. That step is a long step for up and down. Pastor Paul will help you get there. But if you want to share, this is the time to do so. To share not of our mess, but of his message in your life. What are you thankful for God doing in your life? Is there anyone who will start? We're on. Would you just make sure that mic's on, please? Come right up here. You got to come here. The reason I'm making you come up here is because everybody needs to see you. And it is, what are you doing?
I'm just making sure it's green. I couldn't see the light.
I thought you were praying.
It was green. No.
Okay, just help them get down here. When
you got it.
Hopefully this is the right message, what I'm supposed to say. It's interesting. I text Pastor Bill earlier this week, and he texted me back and said exactly that. His message. And I have this week encountered, I guess, what my message from Christ is to others, and that is Christ is caring and compassionate no matter what ordeal you may be going through. This last week for me, in my job, in my acquaintances, I have lost two young men, 36, 34 years old, who left two wives and seven children behind. And I also went to a service yesterday for a 37-year-old man who I worked with, who has now left a wife and three children. And so as I was reaching out to Pastor Bill, it's like, what do I say? What do I do? Other than pray. And he says, you know, all you can do right now is to hug them if you're near them. And if you're not, then to pray for them. And so that's what I do. And I said, am I worthy of that? Am I worthy enough to do that for these people, these young people and families, especially during this time? So yeah. That's my message, is that God is caring and compassionate. No matter how tough that road is going to be for them, I have to continue to pray and assure them that he's going to be there for them.
Thank you. Marva, come on up. If you want to share, just go stand against the wall. The reason I have Paul there is, if you haven't been up on stage, this step right here is taller, and people, your natural tendency.
And we're old.
Yeah. Well, you don't want you to do a face plant on Sunday morning. That would not be cool. All right, go ahead, Marva.
From the time before I was born, God was working in my life to place me in the family that he wanted me to be. Otherwise, my life would be radically different. Through the messes of my own doing, my own bad choices and stupidity, he was there, he picked me up, and he kissed my boo-boo, and he helped me walk again. To the deep, dark losses of my soul that had nothing to do with me, was out of my control, he was there healing me. And his change was that he made me empathetic. Mm. He made me useful because I could share them with the others that were suffering. So the message throughout my entire life that God's given me is that the creator of the universe wants to be intimately involved with me. I'm completely happy knowing that I'm a nobody and nothing, but he loves me and he wants to be involved with me always.
Mm. Amen. Thank you. Come on up. There you go.
Thank you. Hi. My message is not to give up on your faith, because I'm going through some things in my life that I almost lost my faith, and I got mad at God. And I learned, coming here and sharing with my fellow family members, that it's okay to get mad at God. And he's a big enough God that can handle that. And not that I wasn't going to believe in God, but I'm going through so much where it just felt like, where is he? How come I don't know you're there? And how come all this is happening when I'm yours? Hmm. But I kept praying, and as things kept going harder and harder, I just kept hearing, have faith of a mustard seed, just that small, and everything will carry through. So I took that faith as a mustard seed, and now all the things that I was praying for is coming into place. Mm. And it's almost an overwhelming feeling. And what really hit me was last week when we were at church, and Pastor Paul mentioned that we are God's masterpiece. Mm. And it took me a long time to realize that, because I was one of the persons that didn't raise my hand. I was one of the persons that didn't think I am God's masterpiece. And I had to really let that resonate. So yes, my mess is his message. And I am not mad at God. I'm extremely happy that he took me in his favor. And he still gave me grace and mercy through this. And a time when I felt so broken, so over, he picked me up. Amen. And that's my message. Great. Have faith.
Thank you, Roberta. Thank you. Joe, I don't think Paul needs to help you.
Love never fails. If anybody knows me, close to me or my family, that's the message that God has given me. Love never fails. And I'll just read this short passage. I promise it's not a miniseries. We hear this
I'll stop
at...
if it is, believe me.
That's why I wasn't going to share my mess. We'd be here all week till next Sunday. We hear this at weddings quite often, and I'm just going to read it, but it's 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy and it does not boast. It is not proud and it does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. I would say out of anything that God has taught me and coming out of my mess, it's this. And the importance of this is one thing. When you think about what love is, and my kids know this all too well because it says love is patient, love is kind. We're still working on the first two, including me. When it says love is patient, that means love is not present when we're not patient. When it says love is kind, again, love is there when there's kindness. It is not present when we're not kind. And you can take that and you can apply that to the rest of this passage. And out of anything, when it says to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit, love your neighbor as yourself, I had to dig and find out what love really meant and how to practice it and how to live it out. And he's forcing this on me. And I'm doing my best. But take that to heart, because it's what he taught me. I wanted to share that.
Good job. Thank you. Hi, Matt.
Hello, everybody. if you can't tell, I'm incredibly nervous. My mess is my fears and my fear of loneliness, honestly. When I came here, I remember how much love I felt when I just walked into the room, and it changed me. And my message is that I love so much more, and I show so much more compassion because of God, and honestly, I care for everyone so much more than I did before, before I was so focused on myself and the things of this world. And I came here, and my heart grew tenfold. And my message is that, God's message is that love is everything. And if you don't have love, you've got nothing.
Thanks, man.
Nick, who are you? Hi, Nick.
Hey, Pastor. I was over there trying to ignore coming up here. Because I'm normally a bassist. I just stand back there. No one ever gives me a mic. But my message my whole life has always been, no matter how far off the path you get, no matter what you've done, God will always seek you out. And back in 09, he proved that to me physically. My brother and I, we went on a hiking trip at the last minute up in the Sierra Nevadas. And Mother Nature said, you shouldn't have come here. And we got to the campsite. Long story short, it wasn't even supposed to be raining. It rained so hard, my rain jacket tore apart, like yellow coat tore off. I ended up going hypothermic. Our saving grace is that there's a landmark up in Cow Horse Meadow, a little settler's cabin that my brother broke into to save me from hypothermia. The next morning we wake up, and when we went to bed, it was a dry meadow. Woke up the next morning to 2.5 feet of snow. It was supposed to be a one-night trip, ended up being a two-week trip. We didn't bring rations for that. And the whole time we were there, every day, I don't like sharing this story because it makes me cry. Every day God said, don't rely on what you know, rely on me. And I mean, right down to every second. We got to the car finally after we were lost for 3 days because we had figured out a compass. We finally get back to the truck. We get in the truck. We think we're home free. We drove 20 feet, slid sideways into a ditch, and the truck was stuck. So Ty got out and walked down the path looking for a hunter, somebody with a four-wheel drive car that could help us. And I was sitting there listening to Newsboys, and I was just praying, God, what can I do? Is there anything I can do to help us? And I just got this feeling that I should get in the seat and drive. And I was like, that's not going to work. Tried that, didn't work. So I just keep praying that, and he tells me again, get in the seat and drive. So I get in the seat, turn the car on. Before I put it in drive, I ask God, is this what I'm supposed to do? And it's just put it in drive. So I put it in drive, took my foot off the brake, and the car, boom, just jumps up out of the ditch and goes down the road. And there's three types of classifications of road: paved, kept, and unkept. We were on an unkept trail where rangers don't go. So I just prayed, God, get us back to a kept trail. The second I pulled out onto the kept trail, which was 2.5 miles down the mountain, truck slid sideways into a ditch, but now I'm on a kept trail. He gave me exactly what I prayed for. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we got all the way to this hill that we couldn't conquer. We could not conquer this hill. It was ice all the way up this thing. It was probably about 700 feet long. And we keep, at this point, we're so determined on getting out, we've kind of just, we're now relying on our own self again. And we hear crunching around the corner after 2 days of trying to get up this hill. And God had sent my associate pastor at the time to come get us. Rangers couldn't get to us. No one could find us. No one could get to us. But here comes my associate pastor in a tiny little four-wheel drive. I had no chains, highway tires, just drives around the corner. And me and Ty couldn't believe what we'd seen. It's my pastor in the driver's seat. My mother was in the passenger seat. And our older two brothers were in the back seat. And it was just like, so, and he literally sent a shepherd to find his sheep. So no matter where you're at in life, no matter what you go through, no matter what is happening, no matter how far you feel like you're from the path, he will always send somebody to come find you and help you back to the path.
Mm-hmm. All right, come on up.
Good morning. I just wanted to share that God is so faithful all the time, every day, no matter what you're going through, no matter what. He's in you. He lives in you. And he is there. And he will. Oh, he has a plan. He has a great plan. And I guess my message that I've learned through the message in my life is to trust him, because he has a plan. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all our fears. He knows all our failures. He knows it all. And he's got it covered. He knew it from before you were born. And he has you till eternity.
Thank you. All right, anybody last one? Oh, there we go.
Okay. Hi. Pretty much what everybody has said affected my life. I was in a dark place, and in my failures, I thought, ended. I almost ended my life. But at the last second, God was there. He's always there. And he told me, this is what I have planned for you. So I took that gun away from my face, put it down, and thought of my children. I can't let them find me like that. I didn't want that. But more important, he didn't want that. That wasn't what he had in my plan, or his plan. His message was, stay. Do right. There's always going to be something better, and there has been. And I'm grateful for that, that I found my faith 30 years ago. I'm still here. I still have love for my family, and it's grown. So is my family. And I'll never think of that again. No matter how bad the failure is, have faith. Faith is always there.
This morning, I want you to watch a video. This really was Pastor Paul. We could have used it last week. But I want to close this series with the issue of leaving and living. Leaving today, but living as if you are truly loved, and knowing that. That you are loved, and that God can take your mess, my mess, and we can make it his message to share with others. Watch this video.